I'd like for all the fathers to go ahead and please stand. You know, being a dad is not easy. Being a dad is not easy. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. But we try and be the best fathers we can be for our children and for our families. And nothing excites me more than to see spiritual men really trying to do right, imitating God our Father and trying to raise up our families in that way. And I commend all of you, because I know it's not easy. Happy Father's Day. Please bow as I pray for our fathers. Our Father in heaven, you are our Father, you are our Dad. And Father, you created us men to be fathers. We thank you, Father, for giving us the privilege to be able to have children. Father, I pray, Lord, for every single man standing here and those who could not be here. I pray, Father, that you will continue to guide them. You will continue to walk with them. That you will give them wisdom as they continue to raise their families. Father, we thank you, Father, for the privilege that it is to be fathers. Father, we want to lead our children to heaven. We want to lead our families to heaven. We want to lead many to heaven, Father. Help us to be fathers to many others who do not have natural fathers. I pray, Father, that because we were on this earth, we will truly have made a difference. And as a result, many will get to see your face one day. Father, I thank you so much, Lord, for every individual standing. Father, bless them in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my lesson this morning is The Son of the Most High. Again, it's Father's Day, and I want us to look very quickly at Jesus' relationship with his Father. We all desire to be great dads. There's only one perfect Father, and his name is Jehovah. Amen? And those of us that are fathers, we try our best, we give our best. But sometimes we mess up, we don't always get it right. And it's exciting to know that our kids and our families love us nonetheless. I got my first Father's Day text this morning from my daughter. She's away in Philadelphia at Hope Youth Corps, and she just got a telephone before she left. And it's amazing, my phone, you know, gave that tone this morning around 7 a.m. And even before I picked it up, I knew who it was. And she was wishing me happy Father's Day. And then it dawned on me, wow, this is the first happy Father's Day text I'm getting from her. And I pray there will be many others as the years go on. You know, in Psalm 127, the Bible talks about how children are a reward from the Lord. That you and I, we've been fathers because God has allowed it to be that way. We didn't create ourselves. God created us. God gave us the ability to have kids. And it is God who allowed us to be fathers. But like I said this morning, I want us very quickly to look at Jesus' relationship with his Father. You know, in Luke chapter 1, we know the story. He said, well, Richard, are you going to let us go out early? No. Only mothers get that privilege. And I'm not a mother. But we'll have a great time this afternoon, I'm sure. Luke chapter 1 in verse 26. You know the story, but I want us to read it. He said, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." You know the story. You know, imagine this was just a day like any other day, and the angel Gabriel shows up. We know this is one of the angels that stand in the presence of God. Okay? And like Steve was even reminding us this morning, a lot of times in the scriptures, when angels showed up, people were scared. I can't imagine what they look like. We also know from scripture that sometimes they take human form. And so this angel shows up and tells Mary, "You know what? You are going to be with child. And you are to name him. He will be, first of all, he will be the Son of the Most High, and you are to give him the name Jesus." Says he's going to sit on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will never end. I want you to imagine what Mary must have been thinking. Here I am. I've just been told I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. I want you to imagine the pressure raising such an individual. Knowing that, you know what, this is no ordinary child. This is the Son of God. This is the son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, sometimes, you know, we watch the news, especially in the 21st century, and, you know, we read about the royal family, especially in England, and, you know, we're like, look at these guys, they're messing up. I think we need to cut them some slack. I can't imagine the pressure they must feel. Imagine Jesus growing up in Nazareth. And Father knowing, you know what, this is the Son of God. And wanting him to turn out right. Now he turned out right and then some. Amen. They did an incredible job parenting that young man. Because remember, the Bible does say Jesus was tempted in every way, just like us. And yet was without sin. Imagine the pressure of knowing why you were put on this earth in the first place. Why you came. And knowing the time when your ministry was going to start. Knowing the day you were going to die. You know, when you're born a royal, you don't have a choice. Imagine knowing growing up, you know what, I'm going to be king one day. I'm going to be a prince. I got to watch the way I behave. And everybody's watching everything you do and everything you say and how you do it. And so I'm saying, you know, we need to cut them some slack. Because it's not easy to live under that kind of microscope. And I forget, one day, growing up, as a young man, asking my mom, I said, how come my dad is not a chief? See, where I come from, you know, we have traditional rulers, we have chiefs, and then we have ordinary folk, you know. And I said, you know, he's Mr. Alloway. How come he's not chief? And my mother looked at me and says, that would be beneath him. I said, what do you mean? She said, he's a prince. I said, he's a prince? I said, I didn't know that. He said, yeah, you're a prince. I am? And she told me the story. Where I'm from, there are four ruling houses. The guy who's presently king. My father and him used to play soccer when they were growing up. My father was older than him. And even as a kid, I remember my father would call him by his first name. And I'm like, Dad, that's the king. You need to respect him. And he would call him by his first name. I'm like, wait a second. Now I understand. Okay? Now don't let that get out of this room. But you see, my father growing up, he didn't want to be addressed as prince. He just wanted to be Mr. Alloway. He was that modest. The king is still very upset with me because I buried him in Lagos. I should have gone home and buried him there. But, you know, that's a different day, different story. He's looking for me, but I came back to America and I haven't spoken to him since. But you see, I bring that up, you know what? When people are watching you, there's a lot of pressure. And Jesus grew up, you remember the story? In Luke 2, at the age 12, when they had gone for one of the feasts, and he stayed back. And the Bible tells us that he was in the temple. They found him there 2 days later. He was asking questions of the leaders. And they were astonished and amazed by his answers. And when they found him, Mary said, "Son, how could you do this to us?" And you know what his response was? He says, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" And he obeyed them and went home with them. And the Bible tells us that Mary cherished all those things in her heart. So you know what? It's all about me being about my Father's business. That's why I'm on this earth. That's why you and I are here. It's about doing God's business. God didn't create us so that we can every day go up to work or go to school or whatever. That's not it. God put you on this earth. God put me on this earth to be about our Father's business. Amen? Amen, church? That's what this is all about. That was what Jesus was consumed by. He understood that he was on this earth for a reason. Amen? You and I are not here by accident. Yeah, we have natural fathers that gave birth to us, but I'm so excited that, you know what? We have a heavenly Father. God is my daddy. That's what keeps me going every day. Yes, we face challenges like Bert helped us see this morning, but we don't despair. We endure hardship as discipline, and we keep going. Amen? God cares about us. He's watching over us. He sees everything we're going through. He knows what we're thinking. He knows what we need. And he wants to be there to supply all those things and then some. So you got to hold your head up. The Bible says you and I were a royal priesthood. A holy nation. Amen? You and I are the real celebrities. The world doesn't know it yet. They're about to find out. You're a prince. See, how'd that come about? Well, your father is a king. You do the math. That makes you a prince if you're a guy, and that makes you a princess if you're a girl. Amen? That's why nobody messes with me. Because if you try and mess with me, guess what? I'm gonna go talk to my daddy. And my daddy has the ability and the power to take care of you and to take care of that situation right there. Are you with me? It's not arrogance. I know who I am. Do you know who you are? You need to. You're the Son of the Most High, just like Jesus. Amen? The Bible teaches that you and I were heirs of the covenant. We're Jesus' brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. He's not ashamed to call us sisters. Amen? I'm telling you, man, Brad Pitt and Johnny Depp and Angelina Jolie, they got nothing on us. Absolutely nothing. And in our world today, those are the people that are held up as being famous. Amen? But one day, this world is about to realize who you are and who I am. We are sons of the Most High. We are children of God. And that's where our security and our joy needs to come from. Amen? Look in John chapter 4. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures and I'll keep my mouth shut. In John chapter 4, you know the story. Jesus is talking to the woman from the well. The apostles had gone to town to buy food. So they come back. In John chapter 4, in verse 31. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." John 4:31. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then the disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Verse 34. Jesus says, my food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, Jesus said, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. Wow. Jesus says, my food. You know, you want to find out what my carbohydrates and vitamins and fruits and, you know, vegetables, you want to find out what keeps me going? He says, my food is to do God's will and to finish his work. Amen? That's what should keep us going. That's what should keep us excited. That's what Jesus was focused on. Now, he knew that he had a short time on this earth. Believe it or not, you and I, we have a short time on this earth. Now, as adults, a lot of us were older than 33, praise God. But we're not going to be around 100 years from now, I can promise you that. You say, well, Richard, I'm 27. That means 127. You are not going to be here. That one you can take to the bank. We're living on borrowed time. We're here for just a short time. Jesus was concerned about doing God's will and finishing God's work. And he was able to say it on the cross. You know what he said in John 19, verse 30? It is finished. Amen? At the end of my life, I want to be able to say, it is finished. I hope you will be able to say, it is finished. Amen? We got to be about our Father's business. And yes, Satan gets in there, gets us distracted, gets us down, gets us discouraged by things in life. But we just sang about it earlier. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Amen? We got to remember that every day you were put on this earth for a reason. By your Father in heaven. He allowed you and I to be born into this world for a purpose. And what's our mission? Jesus says, I came to seek and save the lost. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Amen? We got to be about our Father's business. I'm not talking of just a few people in the church. I'm not talking of just the campus students. I'm talking of everybody. Amen? You say, Richard, our schedules are busy. Things that, you know, time is, it's hard to come, you know, to find time to get with people. Okay, I want to say this on the pulpit. Write this one. If you don't have a Skype account, I want you to go sign up for one. It's free, okay? It's not going to cost you a dime. I know you like free, because I like free too. Okay? SKYPE.com. Go to your computer, go to SKYPE.com. It will take you in there. Okay? Register. It will give you a Skype name. Download that program to your computer. All right? I need us as a church to take advantage of this technology. And a lot of times, you know, a lot of us, we're married and we have kids. And during the week, you know, we're so busy, we feel like, wow, I got to get the kids into bed. I got to help them with homework. Now, praise God, it's summertime, there's no homework. But just make sure they're not watching TV all day. Make sure that they're still reading and giving them some work, because you don't want them to forget everything when August rolls around. Okay? I'm just telling you in my house how we roll. But anyway, that's freebie. Right now, you're not helping them with homework or anything, but a lot of times you put them down and you really want to get with somebody. But you feel like, you know what? I don't have a babysitter. I can't leave the kids in the house by themselves. Please don't do that, okay? If anything goes wrong, they will come and pick you up. And you better not tell them your minister told you to do that, because I didn't tell you to do that. So you never leave the kids home by themselves. But here's what we can do with Skype. You've put the kids down. Okay? This man or this woman that you're reaching out to, they've already put their kids down also. Then get in front of that computer and you can see each other and study the Bible with them. They're in the same house, so if their kids wake up, they can hear them. Study the Bible through the computer, via Skype. Turn over to this chapter. Turn over to this verse. Let them read it. Ask the questions. Talk back and forth. You have any questions? No? Then look at this verse. Amen? Let's use it. We can do that with somebody this week. You don't have to leave your house. All you need is a computer, and I know you have a computer. Okay? Instead of wasting time on Facebook, get on Skype and study the Bible with somebody. You say, well, they don't have Skype. Then tell them to download Skype. It takes a few minutes. Amen? And it's yours. You and I need to use that, take advantage of this. It's all about doing God's will. Our goal this year as a church, I mean, we haven't made a secret of it, is to see 50 people converted this year. It's exciting. God is answering that prayer. Are you going to be involved with that 50? Or are you just going to sit back and watch other people doing it? Let me tell you something. There's a joy that comes from helping somebody become a Christian. And for some of us, we've missed out on that over the last several years. You say, well, I'm not happy, you know, this is going on in my life. You know, let me tell you something. I got the cure for you. Reach out to somebody, start studying Bible with somebody. All of a sudden, all your problems disappear. Because when you will find somebody who is going through a whole lot worse. And then you're going to start counting your blessings as a Christian. Are you with me? Church, let's get out there. We have over 800,000 people in this county. I hope you're still praying for all those cities. We all got the bookmarks. Are you praying for people in Auburn, in Berkeley Lake, in Pitchery Corner, Five Forks, places we didn't have disciples yet? Are you with me? We got work to do. We're not trying to walk to get saved. We walk because we are saved. Some of us are sitting here this morning. You're not a Christian yet. What are you waiting for? What more does God have to do? He loves you. He sent His Son to die for you. And He said, you know what? I want you to give it all up for me. That's all He's asking. He's not asking you to give up anything that He hasn't done already. Why haven't you done it? You never give your life for anything that death can take away. It's not worth it. This life is very short. Everything you and I see is temporary. We got to be about our Father's business. Amen, church? You can write these references down. John 5, 16 to 19. And John 5, 28 to 30. Where Jesus talks about how, you know, God has always been at work, and I'm working. He says, I can do only what I see God doing. And at the end there, he says, I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. Amen? Isn't that all we're trying to do? Is to make our father happy. I know growing up, that's all I wanted. I just wanted my dad to be happy. Sometimes I succeeded, many times I didn't. That's what this is all about. We're just trying to make God happy. And nothing makes God happy more than seeing people turn around and decide to follow His Son. The Bible says that there is rejoicing in heaven over every sinner that repents. Amen? And that's what this church has always been about. That's what Jesus is about. And I'm just reminding us this morning not to forget what this is all about. Amen? There are a lot of lost souls out there. I'm so excited, you know, next weekend, the singles have been going out and inviting tons of people. They're having a very special devotional right here next Friday night. And the Spanish brothers and sisters, I believe it's also next week, right? Yeah, next weekend. As our service is going on, they're going to be having a special service next door in the band room. Just Spanish-speaking people. I mean, there's a lot of work to be done. And I pray that you're not just sitting around watching everybody else do stuff. That you get involved. That you are about your Father's business, because that's what it's all about. Amen? We got to please our Heavenly Father. God is very proud of us. Just like as natural fathers, we're very proud of our children. Don't let Satan lie to you. The Bible calls him the accuser. God loves you. God loves me. God loves every single one of us. That's why His Son came into this world to die for us. Amen? Church, let us be about our Father's business. Amen? At this time, we're going to dim the lights, and then we're going to do the slideshow for our Father's Day, and then we'll have a closing prayer, and we will be dismissed.